God damn, there's a lot to talk about in this episode. We got 4 movie trailers, 4 TV shows. Fucking listen, tune in. Let's go.
It's the Jockey Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Jockey Nerd! Hey guys, welcome back. My name's Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And this is Jock and Nerd Podcast, episode 6.
6. We'll come up with a title later.
We're live to hard drive, folks, and boy, do we have a lot to discuss.
We got a show for you.
So we're not going to fuck around too much. Yeah. However, there was some exciting things.
Yeah.
You know, if you listen to podcasts, most shows will play feedback at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that noise. We got a goddamn voicemail, and we're very excited.
Yeah, we're going to play the shit out of that voicemail. Or just one time, actually.
Well, I played the shit out of it just because I was like, somebody called. But he didn't leave his name.
And you called me right away. I called you.
I was like, we got a voicemail. I think I tweeted it out, too.
You did. You tweeted that out.
It's a podcast milestone.
It is.
You have to celebrate.
Yeah.
Anyways, here's the voicemail.
Hey, guys. Loving the show. I think you guys are doing a great job. Pretty much the same conversations I'd be having with my friends. If we all got together. My speculation, I want to throw in a speculation here that, I think after Secret Wars, Marvel is going to, maybe not do any new X-Men books. I know there's one where they're doing the old X-Men team from like the 90s, but, I think that might be the only one. They haven't announced any anymore. And I think to further starve out Fox, they're going to, maybe not have any more X-Men books after Secret Wars because maybe like something happened where they're no longer a thing. So that's just my speculation. Great job, guys. Have a good one.
That was a voicemail.
That was a real fucking voicemail from a real person.
He didn't leave his name or where he was calling from, even though it says that in the voicemail message. But whatever, but I think we figured out who it is.
We did. We figured out it was our friend Dwight.
Yes.
Dwight.
Dwight from Pastimes, wrote in and said he loved the show.
He sent a nice email, too.
Yeah, well, I love this for multiple reasons, because we had talked about this before, and we're not crazy.
No.
I'm not crazy. Other people have had the same thought.
Right.
There's some sort of battle.
There is a battle between Marvel, and Marvel's kind of battling itself, but battling Fox and kind of like erasing the X-Men and making Inhumans the new X-Men.
I mean, is it any coincidence that they killed off Wolverine, Fox property?
They killed off Deadpool, Fox property.
Yeah. They ended Fantastic Four, Fox property.
Yeah.
And then what he's talking about is what happens to the whole Marvel universe after Secret Wars.
Right. This is comics we're talking about.
Yeah, it's a little bit geeky, but basically there's going to be a big reboot of Marvel. They're doing this thing, and it's kind of to get new readers on board at number one issues. They're canceling 33 issues, but Axel Alonso, who's editor-in-chief at Marvel, has said that we're not segregating them, but he pretty much said whoever's going to survive, that's going to be like the only X-Men team after Secret Wars.
I have a hard time believing they're going to completely cancel the X-Men title, because you're just cutting your nose off despite your
face. Dude, you can look it up. They're canceling 33.
Oh, I know that.
Main,
but I think they'll have titles. X-Men titles out.
Multiple?
A few.
Or just one?
A few.
I don't know. It's very suspicious, though. There's some shenanigans going on.
There might
on.
Be some Inhumans on the X-Men and X-Men on the Inhumans.
I mean, the X-Men are Avengers. There's some Avengers that are X-Men.
Right.
You know, it cross-pollinates, so
we'll see.
This will be interesting, but thanks for calling and leaving a voicemail,
that was awesome.
Dwight.
How do you call? What number did he call?
Now, here's the thing. If you want to be part of the show, please leave us your voicemail. We'd love to hear from you. This being an audio format, we want some audio. Call 312-248-4376. That's 312-248-HERO.
HERO.
And leave us your shit, man. We'd love to hear from you guys, and gives us stuff to talk about. And just prove somebody is actually listening.
If you are not able to dial numbers on your phone because you lost your hand.
It's possible.
Which is possible in a ninja fight. And you lost your hand to katana by getting your fingers cut off by the Yakuza.
Oh man, that's almost worth it.
Yeah, then you could.
This would be like a hand member.
Then you could, actually you would need your hand to type. So
there's voice assisted. just press the, use your nub.
I was making a transition to email, but then I realized in the middle of that you need your fingers to do that too.
Unless you use your stub to tap the microphone button.
Use that knobby thing.
And then you're going to talk in show@jockandnerd.com.
Yeah.
That's our email.
You could also tweet at us.
What's our Twitter?
at Jock and Nerd Cast.
Twitter.com/JockandNerdCast, or you can just go to jockandnerd.com and find all these links and fun ways to contact us.
And let's plug the people, the platforms we're on too while we're at it.
Yes, follow us on your favorite, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. We just got on a new one. What the hell is the name of that again?
I think it's Player FM.
Oh, that's right.
Player FM.
So, and that's a, it's an Android app. So you Android users might have Player FM to listen to podcasts. Basically, just search in your favorite podcast app for the Jock and Nerd Podcast. It'll show up.
We're on those four, or you can just go to our website.
And if it doesn't show up, send us an email. Tell us that you can't find it, and we will fix that.
Yeah, we will.
And we'd love if you'd rate us and review us on iTunes. And I've actually made it easy for the listeners, Anthony.
Yeah? How'd you do that?
All they got to do is go to jockandnerd.com/review.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go right to our iTunes page.
Perfect.
Then you just hit that little review button, you subscribe, you write a review, make those stars light up all the way across.
Yeah.
And you're good to go.
It's like pressing that Staples button going, that was easy.
Yeah, it's very easy.
Yeah, we make things easy.
JockandNerd.com/review, and we'll love you forever.
We will. We will do a lot of things, but we will also love you forever.
All right, we got a big show. Let's get started.
Jock and Nerd.
Yay, new production piece. Can I? You like that?
That's pretty awesome.
Okay, wait.
Is that me?
Yes, that's
okay.
You.
Okay.
With a lot of effects and a funky background bed. Can I just say why it's funny? Because I don't know what the fuck effects I ran on it. If we're going to play it again.
Yeah.
You don't even say the word podcast. You just listen. I don't know what happened. Listen to the... Listen.
Doc and Nerd.
You just go, podcast.
It's like I said, podcap.
It's so great.
Did you cut me out, or is it just...
Nerd!
Whoa. That's been catching on.
Yes. Nerd. That's why I play it all the time. Nerd.
People have been saying that to me. Nerd.
I love it.
Yeah.
Say it to everyone. They'll think you're crazy, and we'll love you.
Yeah, we'll like that. Let's go right in the news.
All right.
So, there's four trailers that went out this week.
Yeah, there's a lot
of trailers. Start with the first one.
A lot of trailers.
I don't know if this is the first one that was released, but this is the first one we're fucking starting with.
Yes. From
Ant-Man.
Marvel Studios.
Ant-Man. What did you think?
Well, I think this is as risky as a Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
but
I think riskier.
But they're, I love they're taking the balls to do this. I love Paul Rudd. I love the tone of the trailer. Like it was, it had its serious action moments, and then it gets really silly really quickly.
The line about him wanting to steal some stuff and take some, or become a criminal again. Was great by Michael Douglas.
Like, well, yeah, we're gonna need you to break it. That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I mean, Paul Rudd is if he keeps his humor to those kind of moments and doesn't overdo it, like I think it's great.
Just little funny quips like that.
Yeah. I think he can be a quality lead actor. Like you will care for him. You know?
Last trailer we saw, he also has the Marvel abs.
Yeah, everyone has to get the Marvel abs. They just paint those on. I mean, yeah. Chris Pratt went through a transformation. Yeah.
Charlie Cox.
You gotta have the Marvel abs. I mean, I thought it was better than the last trailer because it showed us a little bit more.
A little more personality to it.
Watching it again, I love Evangeline Lilly. I've loved since Lost. So she's great.
She's kind of taking the Wasp role.
Isn't she? It's like a mixture. She's supposed to be Janet Van Dyne.
She's their daughter, I think, but she's got the haircut that Wasp usually has.
She looks like the Wasp from the comic book. So I think they're going to go that way. You know, the guy who plays Yellowjacket, I kind of love him being cast at that because he has such a fucking hateable face. Like, he always plays douchebags and the villain.
Those people that have a punchable face.
That guy has a hateable face. Like, I'm going to enjoy hating him. Like, that guy, you just want to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And he always plays those characters. Like, I can't remember where I've seen him, but he's just one of those actors.
There's a guy in the UFC. You don't follow UFC, obviously.
A little bit.
But there's a guy named CB Dalloway who we might put in the show notes.
Okay.
He's got a fucking punchable face.
Oh, he does?
He's got a face that everyone on the internet just wants to punch.
Well, he's in the right business then, isn't he?
What I liked about that trailer was right at the end, the fucking Tommy the Tank Engine.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
When they're fighting on Tommy the Tank Engine because they're both little.
It gets absurd and silly, but it's so great.
Yeah.
How much of this, I think a little of this, is left over from Edgar Wright? That's kind of his sensibility.
Right.
Like, that's something he would do to make a quirky film.
What's cool about this, too, is it's not end of the world scenario. It's a little bit more family based and a little bit more. They're talking about, you know, ruining each other's families and this tech getting out in the world, but it's not like end of the world, like Avengers. It's a little bit smaller scale, so it's a little different on the spectrum of Marvel movies.
However, I just read recently that the important thing out of this is going to be Hank Pym and the Pym particles.
Right.
They're going to start to affect things in the larger MCU.
Right.
And introducing that is great.
It's another aspect of the Marvel Universe.
July.
Yeah.
Just 2 months after Avengers.
I totally forgot that this movie was coming out this summer, which kind of sucks.
It's almost getting overshadowed by Avengers, but it looks like a lot of fun. Like, again, they're having fun with this,
right,
and they're taking risks, and you can tell already. The suit looks like the Adam suit a little bit, though, from Arrow.
It does.
Or maybe Adam looks like this suit.
What did you think of the Yellow Jacket suit? I thought that looked badass.
I thought both of the suits, like the fact we get two shrinky suits, like I love the claws coming out of the back and stinging him. Like, it looked great. And, you know, him running with the ants, that's fucking awesome.
That's what I was...
Straight out of a comic book panel, and it looked great. It looks great, obviously.
They can play a lot with him shrinking and the world being big around him when he's at this site. Like, I feel like there's gonna be a lot of cool CGI effects with that.
And I feel like this is the beginning of a time when Marvel has taking all their toys and putting them in the sandbox and having fun. And they have a lot of toys
people
don't even know about.
A lot of motherfuckers.
So, as much as they're battling Fox, and granted, you know, they smooth things out with Sony, which was huge.
Yeah.
They can't use some of these other really well-known marketable characters.
Yeah.
They have a huge toolbox.
I don't even think they're battling Fox at this, but they're just battling themselves. They're just trying to top themselves and see what genre they can crack into.
Yeah.
And now they're cracking into this like spy espionage quirky genre with Ant-Man.
It's smart.
Yeah, and they're just playing with the different genres in the movie media.
There's no reason every movie can't be made for somebody, kind of a different crowd in a different genre, because you're going to reach the widest audience that way.
I mean, these movies aren't just comic book movies anymore. They just span over all different genres, and they happen to have superheroes in them.
They're, you know, there's a spy movie that just happens to have, a guy in a costume with a shield or whatever.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that one.
All right. I liked it a lot, too. When is that coming out?
I think it's July.
July 17th.
July 17th, which
2015.
It's just like 2 months after Avengers. Wow.
Yeah.
It's either going to get overshadowed or make them even more money. We'll see. This point, Marvel can take all of my money.
Marvel's printing
money. I don't really give
a
shit.
Now.
They can take whatever they want, whatever they put out. I'm going to go see it.
Daredevil.
Next trailer. That's a whole different
that's
show.
That's a podcast. A different podcast.
That's the next trailer that came out that we both kind of geeked out about, and we're both big fans of this franchise, is The Terminator.
I'm only big fans of the first two movies.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that. Yeah. And I kind of like the third one
only for
how it ended and how it incorporated John's journey, you know, in that timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And how it was like, this was always supposed to happen. Yeah. You just needed to end up here when it happened, and that's what he got.
The fourth one, I when I used to write on blogs, I fucking ripped this movie.
Ew, you're
so
a
bad.
Blogger?
Not anymore.
Sorry.
Not anymore. I'm too lazy to write.
Podcasting is a little bit
easier.
Podcast
is so easy.
For me, just have to come in. I got to set all the shit up.
I come here and drink water, pet your dog, and then talk for 2 hours and leave.
I'll have it open in an hour. Okay.
This trailer, though. Okay, right off the bat. Holy fuck. Okay, spoilers. This podcast.
Listen, we're
going
to have links to all these trailers too. So if you want to pause, hit the link, watch the trailer, come back.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Holy fuck. John Connor is a villain.
I don't understand what timeline this is in.
He's like a role. I think what happens, this is my theory, that he decides in the future that he has to survive. And the only way he can survive is to put his likeness on a robot.
I mean, he's not even a robot. He's beyond a Terminator.
Right.
He's like a mesh of organic and mechanical. It reminded me of like the Vision or like a cybernetic advanced being.
I liked the first trailer of this. I didn't like this trailer, and here's why. That's a huge fucking plot point that they spoiled in a trailer.
But that's coming out this summer too, right?
Yes.
So,
but how desperate are they to do that?
Yeah,
that's a huge. I mean, why would you do that? I don't get it.
Well, you know what?
That's a huge twist in the movie that you could have saved. I had no idea until I watched that trailer
that
was happening.
A little more peaked, interested to see. I mean, we were going to see it anyway.
A little bit. I hear there's a rumor that's not the only big twist either. This movie ends with another twist.
Well, that's good.
That's going to fucking piss people off.
Oh shit!
People are already
That wasn't even me.
I don't know. That was you.
Oh shit!
That's the robot. That
I moved
we have
up
in this
my
building.
Buttons, so yeah. I can't. I gotta find where they are again. I liked it. It was very reminiscent of the first two movies. There was like a lot of shots and lighting that they were trying to call back.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that. Arnold looks cool at times and looks kind of laughable at times because of how old
him
he is.
Fighting him. His young self is kind of cool.
That part was awesome.
Also,
yes.
I think the guy's name is Lee Byung. He's a Korean actor, but he kind of looks like
Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick. Robert Patrick's a white guy.
Well, he's the same model.
Right.
He's clearly, and he's in a suit, and he's got the silver. He's like the T-1000 model.
Right.
So I love that they were harkening back to those first two.
They're
like,
mashing
the second
up
movie
like
is amazing.
Two or three timelines here.
But that's the thing. When this is apparently 1984.
Right.
This is an alternate timeline. She seems really young.
She seems younger.
Does she have John at this point as a child?
No. I think this
is before.
I think this is her. From the Terminator 1 timeline, it's just recasted, but she just looks a little younger.
I don't understand.
But she's been hanging out with Arnold for a while now.
But is that 1984?
I think so. Because she
why is she younger then in this 1984?
I think it's just the actress is casted younger, but this is 1984.
Oh, that's true. She didn't have John in 1984.
No.
But she looks a lot. She looks like she's 16 years old.
She does look pretty fucking young. This movie is fucking confusing.
It's very confusing.
I don't know if I'm... I mean... Am I more geeked because I saw that? I don't think I am personally because I feel like that would have been such a huge thing reveal in the movie to find out.
Yeah.
That's like Iron Man. Well, that's like an Iron Man trailer, Iron Man 3 trailer, posting in their trailer that the Mandarin was just a fake the whole time.
Right.
In their trailer.
Right.
That was a huge plot point in the movie.
Yeah.
Why would I don't get. I'm
well,
so there, mad. That
well, there
that.
Must be something else then.
There must
if
be.
If what you read is true.
Or maybe they're just desperate to get.
I think they need to save this franchise too, because it's such a huge franchise, and they fucked it up with what? This is the fifth one.
This is the fifth one.
Yeah, three and four. I mean, four. I watched. I don't even remember it.
Four, you don't need to watch again. It's a story that should have never been told.
It was forgettable.
Yeah, it was bad.
But I love all this callback to the really good.
I like the callbacks and stuff. I like that they're intermingling and playing with the time continuum.
Yeah.
I just don't get why they revealed the giant and. They better handle that well, John Connor being a villain, because Terminator fans are going to go fucking apeshit if this is not handled well.
I mean, a lot of these shows on TV that I watch, like 12 Monkeys, Continuum, Flash, they all do this timeline thing. It seems like one of those gimmicks, but hopefully it goes somewhere.
It's a huge risk, so I'll give them props for taking a risk.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What can they reboot? Arnold's not getting any younger. But although clearly they can use a young Arnold because it looked pretty good.
It looked pretty good.
It looked like he was fighting.
It looked better than it did in Terminator Salvation when they used a young Arnold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the fourth one.
That was the fourth one.
I don't remember that movie at all.
You shouldn't ever remember it. It's like I said.
He's been in all of them though, hasn't he?
Well, not the fourth one. His likeness was in the fourth
one. That counts.
One.
Good for him. He's got of all.
He kind of bashed that fourth one, too. Like, that movie sucked.
Yeah. You're probably right. It should never have been made.
The fact that Mick G directed that movie, and he was
Charlie's Angels
I was
guy.
Like, God damn it, this movie's going to be bad.
That makes a lot of sense now.
Next trailer.
All right. Next one is kind of funny.
Yeah. This got leaked yesterday.
I think it's hilarious.
We're recording this on Friday, April.
What is it? 17th. So Thursday, April 16th. If you're a big geek and we're on the social medias, it was everywhere.
Batman
versus Superman trailer leak.
Dawn of Justice.
We're 10 months out.
It leaked. They're supposed to do this huge event on Monday on IMAX theaters across the country where they debuted this trailer with some Zack Snyder exclusive, like, footage or some bullshit, and that's just went to shit.
Wait, people were gonna buy tickets to
I don't think you had to buy tickets, you had to reserve online your spot.
Oh my god, I always laugh so wholeheartedly when something gets leaked because I could just see the fucking idiot suits in my head running around with their heads chopped off, not knowing how to do it. Like, I think Marvel did it well with what trailer got leaked, and then they
Age of Ultron.
That's right.
They were supposed to debut it during a S.H.I.E.L.D.
And
episode.
It was a day before, and they tweeted.
I blamed Hydra. Thanks, Hydra.
Damn it, Hydra.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because in this day and age, this shit will get leaked. It was going to happen sooner or later.
I think when you put a date on something, you're like, we're releasing it this day.
Forget
about it. The fucking hackers are like, nope, you're not releasing it this day. You're releasing it 24 hours earlier.
So I had watched the leaked bad. It was like a cam version. Yeah. I think it was like from Brazil. It looked Portuguese or
Portuguese
Spanish.
Or
Spain.
Spanish,
maybe Spain.
I think it was Spanish.
So it wasn't the best quality. But then we just watched. They just released it.
Screen Ran has it. A bunch of sites have it now.
Yeah, we'll put all these links and really have no choice. They preempted you. The internet has won again.
Yeah.
Put the fucking thing out. And we watched it. And, well, Anthony, your thoughts? We haven't talked about this offline yet.
I wish it was more epic. It seemed kind of, I mean, it was somber a little bit. I don't know. It seemed kind of boring, to be honest. I was kind of bored.
Now, granted, this is 10 months out.
10 months out. They're not going to release your best shit.
This is considered a teaser.
Teaser, yeah.
It's not a full trailer, but I have to agree.
Yeah.
It gave me a very, very tiny geek boner for a second when I saw Batman's suit and Batman.
That's the only thing I can't get over. fucking Ben Affleck in that suit. The suit looks great. There's some great shots in there that almost look like they're stolen from Nolan films.
Yeah. Or they're very Frank Miller.
Frank Miller. Yeah. But him, not in the mech suit that he has at the end of that trailer, where it's like Frank Miller from Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
But him in the regular suit, he is jacked.
I don't think that's all him. Dude. There's no way this motherfucker is that big.
He is huge.
So what I did like was I liked the shot of Chicago. And yeah, I kind of dug the whole false god thing. I thought that was interesting.
It's the thing is,
interesting concept, but they were hitting that a little bit in the last movie.
Well, but the thing is, they've jumped to that. They haven't built him up as a god.
No, they haven't. We haven't seen him do anything.
We only saw him destroy Metropolis. Like, in this time, they better have a good explanation from the end of that first movie to now of how he became worshipped and they had built a statue for him.
And so that Batman was around, technically, in the last movie.
That's what I think. Yeah, he's been around for a long... This is like an older Batman.
And I think Lex sends Batman... No, Lex... What was it? Why were they fighting?
Lex
sends Superman after Batman. Batman.
Yeah. That's the rumor.
So I just got a couple more comments. The end of the trailer, I have the screenshot up here of him in the armor suit. Mm-hmm. A lot of it looked like that video game, Injustice, Gods Among Men.
Yeah, it does. It does look like
that. That's why I wasn't impressed. Like, it was just okay. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and you guys can send me hate mail. Zack Snyder can nail the visual representation.
I think the movie will look awesome.
Of comic books. Yeah. He nails the action, the look. He is not very good at directing people and emotions and characters.
This is this is my theory on Zack Snyder, what he does. He can direct the shit, or he can make things look awesome. He makes battles look great. But the thing is, he just, in my opinion, decides to make as much cool shit, put as much cool shit in a movie as possible. So he throws it all in there. Yeah. Then he's like, you know what, fucker? I'm going to do it again because it's awesome. And I'm going to keep going over and over and putting more and more cool shit and doing it over and over until all it becomes is just destruction porn.
You know what that's called? It's called all style, no substance.
Yeah.
So The Watchmen is a gorgeous, like, literal panel for panel translation of that book. Great, right? You'd think it would be great. The entire performances are completely flat.
Yes, it's so dry.
You don't care about any of those fuckers.
There's no emotion.
That is a huge problem.
His best movie was 300.
You can show me all the cool shit you want. If I don't care about these characters, it ain't gonna mean jack shit.
Right.
So.
And like I like Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
He played Superman well in that role.
Yeah.
What he was directed to do.
Yep.
This isn't Superman. No, not the way people grew up with him.
I mean, they're trying to be, you know, they're running off Chris Nolan and all that. And this is their tone for these things.
Yeah.
And granted, you know, we're going to have Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Cyborg, a bunch of other shit. We haven't seen any of that. It could be good. I don't have a lot of faith in Zack Snyder.
I don't have any faith
either. I think he's going to fuck it up. But the movie, despite, is going to make billions of gajillions of dollars.
It'll look great. And it's going to open up the rest of the DC universe.
I'm just gonna watch it with earplugs in.
I don't know if you should do that.
There's
a lot of good actors in this movie.
No, but I don't need to hear your flat fucking performance that you're giving because the director sucks. I just want to see some cool fucking comic book porn on the screen.
Yeah, you're gonna see that. You're definitely gonna see that. You're gonna see some shots taken straight from the Dark Knight Returns graphic novel.
And what's most surprising is I was more excited for this next trailer.
Yes.
Which is the new Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, the continuing. I didn't think they would ever make 7, 8, or 9. Nobody thought they would make 1, 2, or 3. I was like, there's no way in shit George is going to be alive or want to do 7, 8, 9.
It's good he's not doing 7, 8.
No, it's good. But who is doing it is J.J. Abrams. And this trailer, the end of it, like, I did not gasp when I watched Batman Superman. This trailer, I pulled one of those geek boner. Fucking Harrison Ford and Chewie. He goes, Chewie.
You have the floor.
We're home. Oh, I mean,
I'm not a big Star Wars
fan. I'm a huge Star Wars fan to the point where I'm old enough that I saw Return of the Jedi in the theater. I had a copy of the comic book Marvel did. The cover had fallen off, and I had that for years. I remember that vividly, and I would read it over and over and over again. I would reenact the scene where,
where
fucking Luke, in the beginning, where he flips off the board and R2 shoots his lightsaber and he catches it and they all escape. Oh my God, I fucking love that scene. You don't understand. I saw this in the theater. I loved it.
I don't understand.
It was so great. So I'm really excited because the first three movies, everybody knows they were kind of wet, blah, whatever.
Yeah.
I love that we got to see how Darth Vader became Darth Vader. Aside from that, the rest of it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This looks amazing. This looks like actual puppets. There's a huge star Star Destroyer in the desert, like buried, crash landed right in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's literally 30 years later from the last movie, like real time. Like Harrison Ford gets to play Han Solo again 30 years later. And Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, they're all in it.
Was the Empire?
Yes.
I read online the Empire is going to be called the First Order.
Oh, okay.
They're renamed.
Oh.
They're both rising in.
Yeah.
And was it the Resistance?
The Rebels.
Rebel Alliance.
Yeah, the Rebel Alliance.
They're going to be called the Resistance now.
It's good. Yeah. This, you know, it seems like the Empire's fallen and now they're coming back and maybe there's more Jedis. There's a voiceover by Mark Hamill. I don't know who he's talking to, but he's talking about.
There's a new guy that I think everyone's going to fall in love with too, that robot that rolls on the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
They call him BB-8.
Oh, he's BB-8?
Yeah.
And there's a shot of R2.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
As someone that doesn't watch those films, I can't name like too many scenes from those films because I don't love them like you do.
Yeah.
Just watching that trailer, it did look good. I still am unsure what the plot is. It looks like there's a stormtrooper that kind of turns towards the good side.
Yeah.
Actor Boyega.
Yeah, I think he's one of the leads.
The African American actor. Yeah. I think his last name is Boyega. I'm sorry if I'm wrong on that.
I mean, it's all.
He looks like the lead.
It looks great. It looks like great fan service. And, you know, gotta give it to J.J. Abrams. He knows what the fans want. Mm-hmm. He's bringing a more tactile feel back. I mean, those first three movies, have you ever seen behind the scenes photos of them shooting it?
Which ones? The first three?
No, sorry. The second three. Which are the first three?
Episodes 4 through 6.
No, episodes 1, 2, 3.
Oh, that's what you're referring
yes.
to. Okay, this is fucking confusing.
The episode.
You said the first three.
Which are 4, 5, 6, but I'm talking about episodes 1, 2, 3. If you look up shots of them shooting it.
Green screen.
Everything. Yeah. Not even like, let's have a real chair and some real furniture and the background. The furniture was green. Everything was fucking green. I don't know how these guys filmed the movie. They were looking at nothing.
Doesn't Lucas have a knack for just throwing more and more and more in the background and just making everything too busy?
You can't buy the original versions of Star Wars Empire or Return of the Jedi, like how they originally existed. They don't exist.
Yeah.
He's buried those. All you can buy is with the added shit. I mean, it looks a lot nicer. You don't see... I don't even know if you're old enough to remember. In Star Wars, you would see these squares around the X-Wing fighters kind of leave traces. It was the special effects. He just made that shit up.
Yeah.
Nobody had done that before.
Yeah, yeah.
And from then to where it's come now is awesome.
Yeah. So you're super excited, huh?
When they showed Han and Chewie, that's all you got to show me.
That's shot right there, even I knew that was a big shot.
Because again, fans who had come off of Return of the Jedi have been waiting 30 years for this.
To see them again,
yes.
Right? When that comes out in December 2015?
So yeah, that's not too far. Yeah, there's a lot of good movies this year.
So that's it for the trailers,
That's
right?
it for the trailers. Hey, we're going to try something different. We're going to engage with our fellow podcast community.
Yeah.
We're doing a little promo swap, so we have a promo of a fun podcast. Do you like craft beer, Anthony? Are you a craft beer guy? I know you're a jock, so you like shitty beer. I don't know if you like the craft beer.
I like craft beer.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, well, you may like this podcast.
Okay.
Do you like beer? Do you like business? Do you like businesses that make beer? Then you'll love this new show. It's the Beer Trail Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Price, and we're going to travel through the world of craft beer and talk to the breweries and see how they got started and what inspired them to make their beer. So check it out at thebeertrailpodcast.com and tell your friends and hope to see you on the trail.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
The shows this week, Anthony.
The shows. We're going to start with Gotham.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
This week, the shows had the unfortunate position of being watched after I watched a bunch of Daredevil.
After we both binge watched Daredevil.
Oh my God, did that taint everything?
That tainted a lot.
Especially Gotham.
Yeah.
For me to have to watch Gotham after watching 8 episodes of Daredevil and then watch Gotham first, woo, that was rough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been telling you that Gotham's not a good show.
Yeah, we said before, like, it's entertaining, but goddamn, it was like watching a goddamn cartoon show.
So this is Gotham Season 1, Episode 19.
Titled Beasts of Prey.
Of Prey.
It might as well have been a fucking animated show.
I've been telling you, man, this show, I'm telling you, the only reason I'm watching this show is because I've put in 18 episodes of work prior to this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't quit now.
Yeah. And I feel like it was getting better before the break. And maybe because of the Daredevil, I was like, this is how you come back, or they're saving something.
I don't think it was getting better. I think you were just acclimated to the show.
Yeah.
And you were like, I'm cool with this.
Yeah.
I'm cool with this. I'm cool with crap.
This shit has nothing to do with over here.
You know, when you get served like McDonald's every day and then you're like, finally you eat a burger from like a real awesome joint. You're like, fuck, I can't eat McDonald's anymore.
Exactly. This was like going from a filet mignon to a fucking White Castle slider in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It literally gave me the shits afterwards.
That sucks, man. That's not good. Hey, don't play that.
I moved all my buttons. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Anyways, it had some redeeming things, some fun twists.
So, I hate the Fish Mooney storyline.
That storyline has nothing to do with anything else except for Dollmaker, I guess, just to establish him as a villain. Anyway, she finally gets off the fucking island.
It's
she
not
escapes.
Building her up to anything. It's just all it's done is given her a fucking blue eye.
For no reason.
And now she got shot in the stomach.
I mean, you had made that point to me. Like, she scooped her eye out for absolutely no reason.
Just to give her a fucking blue eye.
Just for shock value, for no, just so we could be like, oh, shit. But why? Who cares?
Who gives a shit? So, I mean, this character, I don't understand why they're putting so much effort. She's not likable. She's not from the comics. She's not going to be in season two.
We know she's going
to
die.
We know she's going to die.
I don't think she's meant to be likable, which I kind of like that.
Yeah, but then why are you spending this so much time on an unlikable character?
I don't know.
It's almost like spending this much time on Barbara Gordon.
Don't even get me.
She's not that bad.
Don't even get me started on Barbara fucking Gordon. So the fish storyline, she ends up escaping by chopper. Get to the chopper.
Yeah.
And she sets up some other guys, blah, blah, blah. She's surprised she knows how to fly. Yeah.
She
gets shot at the very last minute, of course.
Which is an allusion to what Dollmaker said he was going to do to her.
Earlier, he was going to, when she's in his office, and he finds her, and she has a knife.
Yeah.
And she fake cries, and he buys
Did
it.
Did you find that to be a flimsy excuse for why you let her
go? Yes,
She's standing there with her hands behind her back the entire time, and he never questions it.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Absolutely. And they left him alive so he could pop up somewhere at the worst time, be like, oh, this guy did it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The whole thing was crazy. Okay. It was just, I don't know.
I hate
She's
that
off there in the, so where we, they're in a helicopter going someplace.
They're going somewhere. Bruce storyline. He's looking for Alfred.
Moderately more interesting.
A little bit more.
They're looking for Reggie.
Reggie.
Who shot, stabbed Alfred.
Yeah.
A buddy of Alfred's hired by Wayne Enterprises to fucking find shit on Bruce.
A little bit more interesting. Not that much.
Mildly interesting.
He teams with Selena.
I thought it was funny how Alfred goes, oh, he's at a shooting gallery, and Bruce is going to fucking gun ranges.
Right.
And it isn't until he runs into Selena where she's like, you're looking in the wrong places, idiot.
I don't get so... You know, remember the last episode where Reggie, he kind of got paid off? Like, we found out he got paid off by Wayne Enterprises to do this?
Yeah.
So then why is he still sleeping on floors?
Yeah, well, he used all that money for heroin, dude.
Is that what it was?
It went all up his arm into his veins because they find him in a flop house, in a junkie house.
Reggie, man, you got to get to... You're going to have to go to, like, some counseling.
And Reggie gives... They got a name, though.
He gave a name, Vandersloot?
But I think it was something like Bunderslough.
Bunderslough, yeah.
And Bruce is trying to evoke a little bit of Batman, where he was like, "Who sent you?" As a little kid, and I was like, "Oh, you're trying to be Batman already? The fucking who sent you?"
They're teasing that he's getting his attributes of becoming Batman.
Basically, Wayne Enterprises wants to know what Bruce knows, so they know if they got to kill him or just not worry about him.
I think they're not worried, but they're going to be worried now.
What did you think about the window scene?
Or Catwoman? Or is Cat?
She's not Cat. She's not even a woman. Her name's fucking Selena.
Selena pushes her out a window?
Well, but...
Pushes him, sorry.
Hilariously, Bruce almost tried to push him. He was going to push him out the window, and it was kind of funny.
Did you see the face he was making?
It was a little bit of overacting.
Kids are never subtle when they act.
But then Selena's like, fuck it, I'll do it. And she just shoves him out the window, and they fucking kill Reggie, dude.
It's like the dichotomy between the two. Selena will cross that line. Moderately interesting.
That was a little bit of a...
Oh, shit.
So Bruce is now, you know, Bruce, that's like his first sort of kill. No, not really.
He didn't kill him.
No, he didn't kill him.
That doesn't matter.
He was going to. He thought about it.
He thought about it.
That's fucked
up. He's thought about crossing that line plenty of times in comics. And
then how many Alfred's just bleeding all over his nice suit? I felt bad for that suit. Like, when he tried to leave and
you
he was bleeding.
You can't dry clean blood.
No, dude. I was like, you're bleeding all over a really nice suit. He probably has 20 of them now.
I have a white shirt that I bought from, like, Express a couple years ago that was, like a $30 white shirt. It was way too much for a white V-neck. And, like, I went out one time. I wore it the first time. I fell down on the bar in my college days.
Oh, no.
Happened to be blood on the ground. Oh. I got like a drop of blood on that shirt, and now I can't ever wear it.
It never came off.
Oh no!
And it wasn't even your blood.
No, it wasn't my blood.
You should clone that motherfucker.
It was a thirty dollar V neck that just went right down the drain the first time I wore it.
It was a $30 T shirt.
Yeah, you jocked on
You're such a jock. I can't find my buttons. Jocking nerd. Ah, he's such a jock.
What about the Gordon? Patrick Bateman psycho storyline.
Yeah, this
the ogre.
This goes back to the villain of the week setup that they have, and Gordon gets this unsolved old homicide case.
He gets set up by Loeb.
He's getting set up by Loeb, but some young cop comes over and is like, "Hey, man, you should take this case."
Because
like,
anyone that follows this case,
he kills who they love.
Yeah.
And Loeb is trying to get him out of the way, or go after Leslie Tompkins or something.
Right.
You know, and Leslie even remarks like, she's in the target age of this guy. Like, it could have been me, but I lives in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
And this guy is, he's charming. He has a line, and he gets the girl in.
He does.
And then when she tries to leave, he's like, oh, no, you're not leaving.
This was the only storyline that I kind of found a little okay.
Apparently, he keeps him for months shackled up and playing housewife for him.
Yeah, and so they overcook the pork chops. Right?
It was she overcooked the lamb, and... too bad. You're victim number 13 on Mr. Ogre's list. I mean, he was creepy.
He was creepy. I'll give it that.
Legit creepy. And this, I kind of liked how it wasn't resolved. They didn't find him.
No, they're going to continue this the next
episode. So it's going to go, but Gordon quickly catches on that he's being set up by Loeb, but he even confronts him.
Right. This part, though, although this was maybe the best part of the episode, this is the part that reminded me most of Daredevil. It's like this one man against a whole city that's corrupt and going against these idiot psychos and all that shit. And I was just like, man, this is not as cool as Daredevil.
No.
It sucks having watched
Daredevil. They're trying. You know, the young cop had me for a bit. I was like, oh, they're starting to come over to Gordon's
side. Oh, I knew right away that was a setup.
And I was like, no, they're not. And then he's like, he goes up to Loeb. He goes, I'm going to get him. And then I'm coming after you, like in front of everyone. So he's causing a lot of ruckus for himself.
I am intrigued to see Gordon go after everybody. But he's been going after everybody for 18 episodes prior to this, and he's not gotten anywhere.
No, not really, has
he? He's still in the same exact spot.
Where
he started
is this all going? And I don't even, I like.
That's the thing. This show, they spin their wheels.
Yeah.
Just over and over and over.
It doesn't really go
nothing
anywhere.
Nothing happens. Gordon is still in the same spot that he was in when he first got to Gotham.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not done shit. All he's done is he's gotten some like phony award or something like that.
Well, he got put up to be, What
represent them?
Remember what Flash was going to be, but then Loeb nominated him or whatever.
It's so unmemorable that I don't know what he won.
It was hard to even care. I barely cared, and there's still the little tiny Penguin inconsequential storyline
that was stupid too, because Penguin is the most interesting part of the show.
I mean, there's four things,
four
but
lines.
Penguin is I guess they're cutting back on his.
But instead of more focusing on his rise to power, they cut back and did this stupid storyline where he was buying a fucking bar.
Yeah, just so he has
some
a place
some goddamn dive bar.
A dive bar, so he has a place to kill Maroney.
That was it.
That was it.
Overall, the show was...
I watched it after Daredevil, and it probably didn't help, but it's not the greatest show. Do you think this is coming back another season?
Oh, no, they got renewed.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they're back.
You know what? It has its fans.
Yeah. I was a fan. I'm still kind of a fan. I'm watching it every week.
That's the thing. I love the canon. I love the mythos, and I love, you know, the
even though
subject.
It exists in this alternate universe.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like
weird, zany Tim Burton universe.
There's a speakeasy over in the South Village. Yeah. You might find her there. Speakeasy. Like, what is this, 1920?
Where people have smartphones, but then they drive shitty cars, and they have typewriters.
Cars from the 70s, typewriters, and then, like, cameras from the 40s, and then there's speakeasies from the 20s. Like, when the fuck does this take place?
Yeah.
Why doesn't anyone have a computer?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Doc and Nerd.
I love that.
Doc and Nerd podcast.
You go podcast.
I get stabbed in the neck. I get stabbed.
You just swallow podcast.
So the next episode.
The Flash.
Flash season 1, episode 18, All-Star Team Up. right away, before you even give any thoughts.
Yeah.
Felicity is fucking back, baby.
Yeah, she's back.
Owns this episode.
Yeah,
she's so funny.
And she's not even technically on the show. She's a crossover.
She's back. Like, I'm saying she's back as in her character is back. Like, well, this is her. This is the way I like Felicity.
Well, and I feel they could do that on Flash.
Right, because the tone is so light.
And she's not in it a lot. She can come in. And every time she does come in, she steals the whole fucking thing.
She had so many great lines.
She had a lot of great lines. I love the title, too.
Harkens back to comics.
To those old All-Star Squadron, right. Marvel team-up.
Right.
And I wish there was more in the team-up and it wasn't just fucking
Adam and
two
Flash.
People. But there's a big team-up theme this week, as we'll get to also later.
Yeah. I love her lines in this. Never had a nemesis before. Kind of like it.
That was a great line.
She has the one where the computer, she's like, come to mama. I haven't been touched you in so long.
Did you notice that one where she kind of recaps what's been going on Arrow real quick?
Then she also, she's told that, or she's talking about dating Adam. She's like, it's like dating Barry in Oliver's pot.
I wrote that down too. It's a fucking great line. I love that. Yo,
the dinner scene was great too, in terms of just pure comedy.
Yeah, it was so awkward.
Where they're arguing, and then Barry's like, oh, thank God dinner's here.
Well, it was just so awkward, and you could feel it.
Sometimes, I love where Felicity is like, yeah, like you should be open all the time. And then like Eddie's like, no, no, no. And then she's like, I mean, sometimes you should just shut up.
Ew, because Iris was being fucking annoying the whole episode again. And it's largely, I mean, it's kind of Barry's fault. Everybody fucking knows except for Iris. Like, Eddie even says it. He goes, oh, so everybody but Iris. And he goes, pretty much.
I mean, they're building towards Eddie hating Barry.
Yeah.
But the writing on that is so lazy. Like, the point where... So then Barry like confesses to her, like, or not confesses to her, but gives like a reasonable explanation for why Eddie's not telling her.
Yeah, he's trying to, you know, he's telling her he's a cop, and cops, you know, they can't share all these things that you won't understand.
But to have her, to write her character to accept that, but then give Eddie an ultimatum?
Yeah, she's like, tell me or I'm leaving by the end. I was like,
it's,
you know,
so
bitch,
unlikable.
You know what? She's so hot that it's kind of passable, though.
It's all, I guess, but I mean, if they could just write her character better.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to be like this.
She's so whiny the whole time.
And this is the thing about what I've noticed in watching a lot of superhero shows, Arrow, Flash, Daredevil, which is another podcast. But the secret identity thing on TV is fucking annoying now.
Well, they seem to let everyone know a lot.
Yeah. If it were just...
That
one person,
yeah,
just the superhero and maybe one person like Batman and Alfred,
yeah,
that know, then it's okay. But when they let everyone know except one person, it's just annoying at this point.
You know what? That always bothered me from the beginning, and that's like coming from reading comic books. Like, that rarely happens, and when it happens, you put that person in danger, and that's why it doesn't happen. Like, it happened in Spider-Man all the time.
But at this point, just tell her.
Yeah, and now he told everyone, just fucking tell her. Like, what are you waiting
for?
I mean, he will put her in danger.
He will, but he's already in the danger.
Yeah.
But how weird was that scene too, where like it's Joe and Eddie are arguing, and they're like, "When do I get a choice? I'm her father. Well, I'm her boyfriend." But they're like arguing as men about what a woman should know.
Who owns her?
Who owns her? That was weird too.
He goes, "When you become her husband, then you get a."
But
fucking...
that was weird. That's like that's so like 1960s the way you think about women.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is not progressive at all.
Yeah, it seemed out of place. And I mean, as good as the writing is, that's the one thing where
that's the one
you're
flaw
right.
The
it's
show.
Not progressive. Just you got to look at the Marvel women, dude. They are strong, empowered. And
Marvel's embraced too that there's just no secret identities. You know, they get around that awkwardness.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They don't have this stupid. Oh, she doesn't know. I have to keep her.
Oh yeah, the secrets
loop.
Suck. Well, yeah,
secrets suck.
Yeah, yeah. It's annoying because you're like, just tell her already. What are you doing?
It does. It like at some points it's like cool, but then over and over it just gets frustrating. It's just frustrating for the viewer, in my opinion. And I think you're getting frustrated too.
Yeah,
I can see how frustrated you are right now by your face.
Dude, it always bothered me, but like, but you make a good point. Everyone knows, just tell Iris. But this is the only drama they have because they can't think of anything else to fucking write.
Well, they're using it as a plot point to turn Eddie, or I think maybe like she redeems herself at the end and she gets killed or something.
I mean, Eddie is starting to really get rubbed the wrong way now because he's like, how do you lie to people? I can't do this.
I legitimately feel bad for him.
You know, he's caught between a rock and a hard place.
I feel bad for his character.
You know, he didn't ask Barry to fucking reveal himself to him and let him in on the thing.
I don't even know why they told him.
Well, they needed his help to find, what's his face?
Some guy in the last
episode. Yeah, yeah. What'd you think of the bee lady? What was it? I thought she was Queen Bee, but they...
I thought she was Queen Bee, but she's
a bug-eyed bandit.
Bug-eyed bandit.
What was interesting is she is not a metahuman.
No.
At this time, the metahuman was on the other show.
We'll talk about that show later.
But she was a hacker. I love the hacker versus hacker scene where Felicity is like, oh, this girl's good.
It was kind of cheesy, but it was funny. I mean, the whole episode was kind of in this funny tone. So
it was
having a bug-eyed bandit.
Yeah. And we got to see Adam. The crossover was great.
What'd you think of... So here's my thoughts on Adam.
Yeah.
I think he works better on Flash.
What's that, like just like Felicity?
Right. I think Felicity, her character could bounce either way, but Adam is so awkward.
He seems to belong there more.
He seems to belong there because the tone is so light and everyone is kind of awkward already.
Yeah.
That he like bounces off better than on the seriousness of Arrow, which we'll talk about differently.
Ray and Felicity's chemistry though, in this and Arrow, so good. Like in this show, they make the comment where I think it's Caitlin, they're geeking out and she's like, oh God, there's two of them. And then they make a similar comment on Arrow and we'll get to that. So
Ray and Cisco had some good chemistry too.
They make a great, that's a great team up.
Where they look at each other like bug-eyed bandit.
And they're like,
Or like Adam, he's like, the Adam, are you stuck on that?
And he finally asked the question you had asked me about the prison.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he asked that question. I forgot about that.
Oh, but that's in the other show.
Oh yeah,
it's all blurring together. We'll get to that. Yeah. So the bee girl was played by Emily Kinney, who a lot of geeks will know from The Walking Dead. She was Beth in The Walking Dead, and she was great on that show. So this is like a completely different character for her. Obviously,
really? She's not like this. She's not a fucking tech nerd controlling little bees.
No, she's got a singing career. She's got a really pretty voice. She has albums.
Really?
Yeah, she sang on on Walking Dead a lot, just like a cappella. She's got a great voice.
Wow,
yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. You would never know she was. Oh. I mean, it was almost like a Halloween costume. Like,
oh yeah, she was wearing like honeycomb or the monitors or something like honeycomb.
Yeah, yeah. But the important thing with the bees led Ray to realize that maybe I need to go smaller.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the answer to support the power that the suit is requiring.
Would you there was one part where he was flying around.
Yeah.
I just had to point, the CGI was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have him flying around in two shows a week, like you might have to split up the budget. But
it almost made me be like, I don't know if CW can handle like these really super powered characters.
I mean, the bees looked okay.
Not that the bees were fine.
Yeah.
But him flying around was bad, dude. It was bad. Watch it again.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch it again. It didn't really, it didn't stick out.
It stuck out to me.
Like right away.
It stuck out to me because I'm imagining him eventually being small. And I'm just like, holy crap, how are they going to do that on a CW budget?
It's going to look like Ant-Man.
No, it's not. It's not going to look like Ant-Man. It's going to look like shit.
It's going to look like a YouTuber made Ant-Man. No, it won't be that bad. It'll be pretty good.
What'd you think of the reoccurring thoughts that Cisco was having?
Oh, that was great. First of all, he has a great line, which he does a Indiana Jones allusion.
Oh, yeah? What was it?
Where he goes, bees. Why did it have to be bees? Oh. Where Indy says, snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Oh, that's true.
And it's like, I love their pop culture.
One more
references.
Line, too, where Felicity's like, be careful.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Bad pun.
So bad. She's like, I have a nemesis. I did love the nemesis.
Yeah.
The fucking slide flashes. I was serious.
Oh, shit. Would you say slide flashes?
Side flashes.
Side flashes.
I'm calling them side flashes. He is flashing. Not it's not a forward, and it's not a flashback.
It's not a peep show.
He's flashing to a parallel timeline. Is it a peep show? Ooh, I'm gonna open a fucking nudie bar called Side Flashes.
It's like, where you just get a little side boob.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that's like a. It would be on Sopranos. Like fucking, all you get
is side boob.
All you get is side boob.
Yeah.
You put them a dollar, you get a little bit.
And
more
you don't.
Side
you're only getting side boob. You might get it from a woman. You might get it from a man.
The beauty of this, it's a family friendly establishment. Because it's just side boob. Who hasn't seen a little side boob?
Who hasn't
side flashes?
Boob?
Come on down to side flashes, everyone. It's ladies' night. All that. Anyways, what the fuck are we talking about?
Oh, we were talking about Cisco having these memories of the alternate timelines.
The timelines are starting to break down.
Yeah, that's cool.
Where is this going to lead?
Well, it's leading to him knowing that Harrison Wells fucking vibrates through his chest.
And then he tells.
That sounds awful.
Only in side flashes. People come in and they'll vibrate through your chest. Ladies' night, 4 p.m., dollar shots.
I'll just say he kills him. That vibrates through his chest. That's fucking weird.
And it's speaking about secrets, I love Cisco. He's like, he tells them, he goes, you guys, I've been having these dreams, but they're not really dreams.
Do you notice that Caitlin in the background is kind of skeptical?
Oh, really?
You think she's going to like side with Wells and be like the Killer Frost that
well,
we know she becomes?
She's
got
to turn into a villain at some point.
And she's very skeptical.
And I'm waiting for like what's going to set her off, you know?
I think this might be part of it.
Ooh, that's good.
Maybe. I noticed she was like, no way. No fucking way.
I love that that reality is breaking down between these two things cool. And like, how is he going to process this? Like I think that was the most important.
That was a great cliffhanger
in there.
CW's really good at these cliffhangers.
Oh, they really are.
Not only mid episode, but not only at the end of episodes, but mid episode. So you're literally, if you're DVRing, like I literally just fast forward. I don't even get up to pee. I don't take a bite out of my food. I just fucking fast forward and keep going.
Yeah, you got especially like when I marathon through the Arrow, like I couldn't stop.
You can't
it's formatted so great. Yeah,
they do a good job with that.
I can't stop there. Are you kidding me?
They do a really good job with that.
So
any other thoughts?
No, that was really all I had.
It was a fun episode.
It was fun. It was interesting that, you know, this one didn't have the metahuman and the other show did. And the side flashes, that was the most satisfying bit. I was like, because there was hardly any Wells. I was like, what happened to the other timeline? Ever since that next episode, I'm like, what happened to that ever happened? Now we start to see that it did happen.
It did, and that's fucking
and it's still there. And I love how the things that triggered his side flashes, how it kind of tied
it's
in.
Like little lines.
Yeah. That was great. That was the best part of the whole show. So now.
That was great. I thought, well, I liked the Felicity being Felicity. Yeah. That's my favorite.
No, the crossover, anytime they cross over on both of the shows,
it's good.
Love it.
Yeah.
There's another crossover. So that, like, this, both their shows had crossovers.
Yeah.
A little bit. So, yeah.
Should we talk about the next show?
Absolutely.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
You keep pressing the wrong button.
I can't find my button. Sorry. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. time. I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm trying to... Oh, God damn it. Why did I move all these?
Jock and Nerd.
All right, that's good enough.
There you go.
I'm trying to...
Jock and Nerd.
Oh, I made it yellow, and I still can't fucking find it. I'm an idiot. Anyways, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. time. Marvel time. This was a very fun episode.
Yeah, it was all right.
Season 2, episode 17, titled Melinda. Lots of things we wanted to find out for a long time.
Find out about why she's the cavalry.
Why she's called the cavalry.
We found out in last season kind of why they told us, but now they actually showed us.
Did they? What was the information up until now?
They told us that she'd like saved a bunch of people, in like a bunch of men by herself.
The rumor was she killed a powered person or something.
Yeah, and
before.
She'd went in unarmed and killed a bunch of people.
And took, yeah.
But now we got to see what she
Where do you want to start? You want to start with that one, or you want to start with the sky bit?
Let's start with the fucking Melinda bit.
All right.
Because the show is titled Melinda.
Yeah, it is titled Melinda.
Yeah. Totally appropriate.
So it picks up like 7 years ago, and it was great because
it's weird seeing her like that.
She's such a good actress, dude. Yeah. She played it so good. She's like a normal, happy person.
That wants to have kids.
Wants to have kids. She's cooking for her husband, like completely different from the May that we know and kind of like what the fuck happened to her.
It was weird seeing her like that.
Blair Underwood is there. Yeah. The husband is there. But, and that was the point was like, oh, she was okay right now.
She was a different person.
What the fuck happened?
Right.
You know, and from the costuming to her body language and her acting, her hair, it was really well done.
Right.
So what happens?
They were after Eva Belikov.
That's right.
In Bahrain.
Eva apparently has enhanced strength.
I think she's an inhuman.
They think she's an inhuman.
They don't know that. They don't call them inhumans. Yeah. But from what we gather,
she's a powered person. And they're even back then, they were hunting down power people.
And this ties into the inhuman storyline on the other side, because she escaped. She wanted her kid to become an inhuman.
Right.
But there's a process to this, and her kid did not qualify because her kid was a demon, basically, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's great how they kind of revealed this, because the whole time they're chasing Eva, and the first time they meet her, she goes, "I want your pain."
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's weird. And then she just flips a table and takes off with a kid, and you're like, oh, she just kidnapped a fucking kid. And May, of course, is concerned. She's like, we got to get this kid.
Right.
This sucks. So you think it's Eva the whole time.
You think it's Eva, but it's been the kid
that's doing all this.
Right. We're spoiling everything.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
No, the kid was supposed to go through the inhuman process, the Terrigenesis, but this kid was unworthy, so then Eva took the kid and stole a diviner.
Yeah, which she stole some crystals and a diviner, which is revealed, you know, it's a great way to match the Sky storyline with this storyline. At that point, the flashback overlays with the audio, and we'll get to that point, of Sky's mom explaining all this. But basically, why do they call her the cavalry? They sent all these dudes in, and then it all went silent.
Yeah.
Like, they were either shot or taken hostage. Like, it was very weird. No one knew. And despite S.H.I.E.L.D. telling him to sit still,
she just insisted.
He's like, I gotta save this kid. And, you know, you could tell how different she is. She stops, she calls her husband right before.
Right.
And she's like, look, I don't know what's gonna happen, but it's a kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, make sure. And I love, he's a psychologist, he even gives her advice.
Oh, you know what I just came to mind right now? Seeing as the kid was so evil.
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, soured her on having kids herself? That she trusted, she risked her life for this kid.
Well,
and the kid was evil.
Well,
you think? I just brought that up. I just thought of this right now.
I'm sure that's part of it, because she didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
She
always thought kids were, like, pure.
They're innocent. Yeah. And so she rushes in, and these guys are just standing around, and they're like, we want your pain. And she's like, get out of here. What are you doing? Yeah. And they all start attacking her, and Eva comes out, and they have a little fight, and, May gets shot and then she
gets beat the fuck up.
She gets beat the fuck up. She gets shot in the leg, but she manages to impale Eva despite Eva's enhanced strength. And Eva dies, but yet everyone is still mind controlled. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
It's a kid.
And then you find out the little kid comes up and she's like, I want your pain. I feel your pain. And May has no choice. Well, we should explain before this, the kid, the people the kid's been controlling, it was like the local criminal gang.
Yeah.
They're coming in and she's dropping them like flies with a hand wave.
Yeah, that was weird.
She just sets them down. I think she killed them.
I think they're dying.
They were all dead, like all the agents.
She's like turning off their brains or something.
She's with the wave of the hand and they drop. So May's there with this kid who's coming and she's backing up and she backs up into her gun and the girl is reaching for her saying, I want your pain.
Mm-hmm.
May has no choice. Yeah. Well, what would you have done? And then it cuts to outside. You hear a gunshot. They don't show it. If this was The Walking Dead, they would have fucking showed it.
They can't kill a kid.
This is an ABC Disney show.
On ABC.
But goddamn. Oh, shit. May killed a fucking kid, dude.
That ruined her for life.
That's gonna change you.
Well, yeah, that explains why she's cold as fuck now.
That is going to change you a little bit.
One point that I wanted to point out is that this Eva Belikov character that was superpowered. It's always weird to me that when they're superpowered and they punch a regular person in the face and they go flying.
Yeah.
Like, logistically, like, instead of them going flying, their face should just cave in if they're that powerful.
Or your head would explode.
Your head would explode. Like, you wouldn't go flying.
Like a fucking watermelon.
But so I noticed that and I was like,
even
holy
fuck.
Even
if she punched her in the gut, her hand would just go through the body.
If you were that powerful, yeah. But so May takes a fucking beating.
But because comics, that's what happens. May takes a beating. Do you think? I think they were both exposed to the crystals.
Yeah.
And she got strength, and she got these emotion leech mind control powers.
I think that's a safe bet.
But it was really for the daughter,
right? It was for the daughter, and this is why they have this process, the Inhumans now, because of this, because you have to respect this process. We can never have something like this.
Well, and we find out it was the one slip. Sky's mom, who's kind of in charge of everything over there, we learned.
She runs shit.
She fucked that one up a little bit, and she doesn't want that to happen again with Sky.
She doesn't
want
to show favoritism to Sky, because she reveals that she's Sky's mama.
Yeah, and we'll get to that storyline. But the main thing is, this is when the remaining agents are like, she took out 30 guys. Like, they wake up, all they know is there's 30 dead guys around her. She's like, she's like, she was the cavalry. She took out 30 guys. How did she do that? Like, and so, like,
you can see too why she doesn't like being called
the cavalry. Yeah, it's heartbreaking. Because
it reminds her of that moment.
Every time, and I remember when Sky said it and she kept bugging her. And every time someone says that, you just think about the fact that you shot a fucking little girl.
Shot a girl, and now you'll never have kids, and it ruined your marriage.
It ruined everything. Yeah.
It made her a different
how
person.
We are, cold, distant, reserved. Like,
how we are?
I mean, how she is now.
Not me and you.
We're not like that?
I don't think we're cold and distant.
No, we're warm and cuddly.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Talking nerd. Anyways, let's get to...
we'll get to the Sky spot.
The Sky storyline is great. I loved it. Remember last week, I was like, I want to see fucking Sky do some shit with her powers.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did she.
She moved mountains.
She moved the mountain. She could feel the vibrational frequency. agencies. And I love how they explain. Remember last week I was like, she was just vibrating Raina in that one scene. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was weird. And Skye's mom actually explains it to her that she can vibrate individual frequencies selectively.
Mm-hmm.
She can hear the vibrations of everything around her. You know, she puts the stone in her hand. She's like, can you hear it? She's like, the stone, I can hear the mountain. It's screaming at me.
Right.
You know, and then she tries to, she's like, put your hand out there and focus and see what you can do. And she causes a fucking huge avalanche and just smiles.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great. Like, she's powerful, dude. That is some power.
We're going to see her eventually in a movie, I think.
I love what she said. She, you know, they're trying to get her to understand not to be afraid of this and, right. and to embrace it. And then we also find out that Jia Ying doesn't train anybody.
No.
She asked Lincoln, and Lincoln's like, you're the first person. She doesn't. So people might catch on. Like, they got to be so jealous.
Well, they
now.
Catch on at the end.
Yeah.
Not they, but Lincoln catches on.
Oh, yeah.
When
well, he sees them.
The family dinner.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck? Did you see? Did you notice, though, he got referred to as Spark Plug by Gordon?
Oh.
I didn't look up if that was a comic book character.
I don't think he's any
no,
character.
No, but I think that'll be
spark
his name.
Plug. Spark well, Plug. Yeah, Spark yeah. Plug. Oh, they kind of dropped it.
Gordon's like, you're a little yeah. Spark Plug.
I like how they, you know, and opposite to Arrow and Flash, they do the subtle, let's name this guy. You
right.
know, throwaway, and maybe people will remember.
Yeah.
I also loved the bit. Oh, then, so Raina's there also.
Yeah.
And poor Raina, I feel bad for her. She just wants to go outside. She wants to feel the fresh air. And they're like, look, you can't go outside right now.
Yeah.
You're going to stay in for a little while longer. And so she has a gift. It hasn't fully manifested itself.
She also, I think another one of her gifts is she might have predictive powers.
Well, we kind of get that yeah. a little bit because she tells Lincoln, she goes, you know, I'm having these nightmares. And then all I see is Skye. Sitting with her dad yeah. and smiling with flowers and right. like it makes her angry, right. which is great. And you're like, oh, huh. She's dreaming of them having a family dinner. That's interesting. And you know, at this point, we're like, whatever. Cal's in that fucked up room. You know, that's never gonna happen. How's that gonna happen?
But it does.
It does. We also see some more training. I love the where she vibrated the notes on the wine glass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about
you
that.
You know, to
yeah.
go from a big scale, I'm going to move the side of this mountain. Mm-hmm. Now she's individually matching frequency on multiple things at once.
She's like training herself yeah. to be careful with her powers.
Yeah, except she's force. Not so careful and it all
she
explodes.
Blows up the glass. Yeah.
She's got a little bit of training to do, but Skye's mom got a kick out of it. She's like, look, that was amazing. Look what you just did. You know,
that actress is pretty good too, Skye's mom. She's, yeah. She comes off as very caring.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she's very sincere. Very. Yeah. You really feel for her and I noticed her right away.
I noticed this episode you pointed out last week, the stitches and all that stuff.
Right.
Her face being put back together.
Well, and then she refers to something about that too.
What'd she say?
So basically, she tells Skye about the way she told Skye she was her mother
mm-hmm.
and why that happened. Remember, Skye was like, look, I don't trust home. You're saying this is home, but every home I've been in, I have had to move. I'm 25. I haven't been in one place for more than a year.
She's actually 26. We find that out.
Yeah. And then we find out she's 26 and she's like, she doesn't know her birthday. You know, she's been treated badly by foster and all this. Imagine what poor Jia Ying is thinking. Like, I fucking did this. This was my fault.
Yeah.
And she just goes, July 2nd. And this guy's like, what? She goes, your birthday is July 2nd. That's when we went to the thing and tells him the story about there was only one car in the village and Cal had to go get it.
Yeah, his Chinese sucks.
Man, it was a
heartfelt moment.
Heartfelt moment. It was pulling at my heart, dude. It gave me the feels.
Yeah.
It gave me the feels. I was like, Skye has her parents, like she knows.
You know the feels, that term?
Yeah, where did that fucking start? Because I should not be using that.
It's an EDM thing, I think.
Oh.
Because I only started hearing that when I started getting into like EDM.
It's from the ecstasy, man.
It's from the music.
And the ecstasy, man.
I think that's what it is, though. They're like, oh my God, I feel the music, the feels. So I think that's where that's from.
Okay.
Whatever.
EDM is now becoming whatever. It's just a fad. It'll go away.
It's been around forever in Europe.
I know. I'm joking.
it's going to, the bubble will burst and then it'll have its own niche.
You like going to those things, don't you?
I love those things.
I have yet to experience one.
You might like
it. Anyways, back to the goddamn topic. what I was talking about, the scars, she, you know, because Skye asked her mom, like, why didn't you tell me before?
Right.
She goes, I wanted to run to you, but she wanted Skye to voluntarily join. she starts to tell a story like, we and your father looked for you for years. But she goes, after your father pieced me back together, we spent years looking for you. She used those words. She goes, Cal pieced me back together, and we were looking for you for years. I was like, what the fuck? Cal pieced you back together?
Yeah.
Like, so she must have been cut apart and regenerated.
Well, she was cut apart
several times.
That's why I was surprised to see her back, because I remember that episode. It was pretty graphic. Dude, they cut her apart.
That's her. That's her. That's a powerful inhuman power to have. Like, yeah. I don't think she can die.
I like the family dinner at the end. I actually felt... It felt like a family.
Yeah. No, that was great. She goes, look, Cal just wants one dinner, and then I'm going to get rid of him. You'll never have to see him again.
Right.
And she's like, really? I'm like, all right. And it was, I felt really nice for them. It was nice. Like, they're having kind of normal moment Skye can have, having dinner with her parents.
Yeah. And it was earned, too, because Cal... I mean, he's been a bad guy, sort of.
Yeah.
But he's really just been wanting to hang out with
his daughter. He had the room all decked out. It was great. It was like...
He's just been wanting to hang out with his kid.
All he wants is to have dinner with the poor girl. Yeah. Let him have one fucking meal. And that's when we find out she goes, I'm 26.
Yeah. Oh. And that's when we also see Lincoln.
And then Lincoln walks in, and he sees this scene. Yeah. And he remembers Raina's words. And he goes, that's not a dream. So you're right. Her power is predictive,
I think this will be the start of the Inhuman community turning on them.
Oh, because
shunning them.
The non-powered Inhumans.
Well, first off, it's showing favoritism to Skye.
Yeah, well, that's going to be an issue.
And they're bringing in this non-Inhuman to hang out with them too. Remember, Cal's not an Inhuman. Right.
This is breaking all sorts of rules that their elders have set.
So I think that's not.
Yeah, that'll be great. Like, I love these Inhumans. I want to know more. I want to meet more.
Can you imagine that this? Well, not imagine, but this movie's not coming out until 2019.
Oh my god! And it's great the way they're doing this. I love the Inhumans. Like, it got me reading the comic book, which I stopped reading, but it ties in. That's Reader's in there. Gordon's in there. I just love this thread now. I love Skye now. I want to see her develop and become Quake.
It's new. Where was the last?
Well, back on the real S.H.I.E.L.D. side, they are tailing Fitz, remember? They think he's going to lead him to Coulson.
They were tailing him?
Yeah, they put a tail. Remember, he was in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At the very end.
At the very end, yes.
Well, before that, they mentioned they put a tail on Fitz because they want to find Coulson. They asked May, like, do you know anything about Deathlok? They're like, do you know anything about Theta Protocol? The fuck is Theta Protocol?
Oh, yeah. So the Theta thing, did you think that May is... like suspicious of Coulson, or is she playing everybody?
I don't think. I think she's on Coulson's side. But
she's also suspicious.
She starts to get suspicious because of some discrepancies.
Do you believe she's actually suspicious, or they're writing it like she's playing it? All playing.
You know, when it got to the point where they were checking the travel records, it didn't match up.
Right.
And she's like, why does he need 100 bunk beds? Yeah. And Max says what they're really thinking is that they think he's building a base for superpowered people.
Maybe this is the leading to a spinoff.
Spinoff
show.
Oh, this could be,
you know, this team is the Secret Warriors.
This could be the spinoff show.
Yeah.
But he mentions Avengers, Tahiti, but May, and then May goes to Simmons, like, you got to open that box. And I'm like, oh, shit. That's not the fucking box, dude.
It ain't the box.
You know? So.
Pesto Aeoli has the box.
Yeah, May comes back to the base. Pesto Aeoli's got the box. That's right. I don't know. I think she's starting to, now that you mention it, now that part, I think she was on Coulson's side. She wants to know what they know, but I think she's starting to suspect.
Yeah, I got that vibe too. That she's starting to suspect him.
She can't, she can't put these things together in her head. Like,
and I guess it makes sense logically.
Add up.
Like, why would he be running around like this secretively?
Yeah, no, I felt like she really didn't know what Theta Protocol was, and that was the one red flag. And then the travel is this other red flag, and all these. And remember, I said he was when he was scanning his wall. That was Fury's toolbox, and he was looking at S.H.I.E.L.D. armaments and all these different bases, S.H.I.E.L.D. installations. Mm. It reminded me of that. So. He may be up to something that we don't know about.
Yeah.
And at the very end was we get to see kind of where Coulson and Lance, where Fitz is in the bathroom and the guys tailing him are like banging on the door.
Oh, he opened the cube.
And he gets it to work. Yeah. And it instantly calls, Lance is like, how'd you get on Coulson's tablet? And then they FaceTime and they want to meet up. But
FaceTime through this cube.
Yeah. Fitz is like, you guys know how I would shake a tail? Because he doesn't know how to get out of the bathroom. He's like, this is one problem. And Lance is like, oh, you got an electric hand dryer in there? He goes, yeah. He goes, oh, you're going to be okay, mate.
Yeah, that's a good line.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, it was funny.
What, I don't know what they're going to have. They're going to have him.
They're like, not going to. I mean, he's just going to blow everyone
away. He's going to jury rig some shit that goes off. Yeah. I don't think there's a window. They said there wasn't a window, so he's got to go out the front door.
Right. What did you think of the episode?
I mean, I loved finding out about the Calvary. That was heavy, dude. That was heavy. Mm-hmm. And it really informs her character so much.
Here's the thing with this episode for me. I got tainted by Daredevil, too.
You know, As the week went on, it was not as bad as Gotham.
No.
I was not nearly... I thought it would be worse, but it was kind of good because I watched... Again, so this was like eating a filet mignon, and then I cleared my taste buds with a fucking White Castle hamburger.
Yeah.
Then I took a step up, and I got like a Wendy's, you know? So it was a little bit better. And then I ordered from Grubhub a nice fucking decent burger.
Yeah.
But it still was not filet mignon.
No.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, what's weird about watching the show after watching Daredevil is that this is actually the same universe.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah, that's a good point.
How does this all
there, I mean,
exist?
Yeah.
You know, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is filmed so glossy and so...
So produced.
Pretty.
Very clean. Yeah.
Well, fuck, we're going to talk about Daredevil, but, you know.
You know, you can't avoid that, unfortunately, yeah. Because how many people powered through Daredevil over the weekend? It's going to affect other shows for a while. And once that fades... People are you're going to be psyched about these shows.
Oh, I liked. Yeah. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. was all right. It was fine.
It's just, this is a crazy week for all the shit that come out at once.
Yeah.
But I love, I love Skye's shit. Like, I want to see
intriguing.
More. I want to see more of that. I kind of love that the family's back together.
I want to see, I think this new S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff has got to start picking up. Like, I think they've got to start making an attack on them or something.
I think, yeah, there's only, how many?
Is the 18th episode, 17th? So we got six more.
And so this is even going to go past Age of Ultron.
Right.
So at some point, it's going to weave into that and come back out.
It should.
Yeah.
I think they will. Yeah. If they're smart, they will.
They have to. You can't do it with Captain America Winter Soldier and not do it with a bigger fucking picture.
They will. It'll weave in and out.
That'll be exciting.
Really cool.
Yeah. This is all leading somewhere. So it's good stuff.
Right. Next show.
Our next show for this evening, well, it could be daytime when you're listening to this.
Whenever you're listening
to the final show.
Arrow.
It's a long week. Arrow. Season 3, episode 19.
Imagine if you were watching iZombie and we had to review that.
Oh, boy. I can barely.
Fuck.
Man, that's a lot.
Remember, imagine next season, before we get in there, imagine next year when you've got all four of these shows and you have a Supergirl show and maybe a Titans show.
Constantine sort of got canceled and didn't get canceled. I don't know.
And a Secret Warriors show.
Oh, man.
And there's also rumors Agent Carter is going to be back.
Oh, man.
And you got the Netflix stuff.
Plus, just for Marvel alone, in the next 4 years, there's 12 movies coming out.
Awesome. We're going to be doing this for a while.
Oh, boy. We have plenty of content for at least the next 4 years.
Yeah.
This show ain't going anywhere, folks. Subscribe today.
Subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and now Player FM.
Player FM for you Android freaks out there. Freak your Android on. This episode was called Broken Arrow. Wasn't that a movie with Nick Cage? No, I'm thinking of something else.
It might have been. I'm thinking of the song Broken Wings.
Take these broken wings. It's a great song. You weren't even born when that came out.
But I know the song.
I listened to it when I was younger.
I bet you did.
It reminds me.
I bet you when you were real depressed, you probably put that song on.
No, I was too young for that. I just liked the way it sounded.
Yeah, it's catchy.
It was a good song.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's a lot of
oh shit.
At the end.
But you know what? I'll tell you when we get there, they had me good. The way they structured this thing
got me good.
Fucking brilliant.
All right, so this episode...
They start building up this tension in two ways.
Right, well, I'll say this. This is my initial thoughts on the episode. This was an Adam-owned episode again.
Because
he was the hero.
Yeah, Oliver can't. The cops are gonna be all over him.
Right.
Basically, Roy does take the fall. They're like, Oliver, you can't go outside.
Right. So Adam takes the reins. Here's the thing with. So I brought this up earlier with Flash. Adam taking the lead on this show. In my opinion, doesn't work as well because the tone of the show is so dour.
Yeah, and he's
and he's so awkward and chippy.
And he tends to play it even more like goofy on this show.
It's not
high five bid and hey team up. Like,
I feel like he's really more like forced awkward on this show.
Yeah,
whereas on The Flash he just has better banter.
It works. Yeah,
oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, I think all of this also is to set up for their spinoff show.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're trying to give Ray some shit to do so they can just take him off and he's over here.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Originally, I thought, man, he can't carry a show by himself. But then I thought about it more and I'm like, I think it's just the environment he's in.
Yeah. Yeah. If they get the right tone and if he gets a little team behind him, it could be really good. And it would be really fun to watch.
Right. What'd you think of...
You know, he starts to come in on his own. He has a really good battle with Deathbolt, which is, I'll put this in the show notes. Here's what Deathbolt looks like in the comic book. Anthony, I think it would be hilarious if the jock described this outfit.
Oh my God. It's like, well, he's wearing his underwear outside his pants like all superheroes.
Of course.
Do. But he looks kind of like the Green Goblin without his mask on, but he's wearing like a Zorro purple cape.
He's got like a Magneto helmet with a fin on it.
It looks like a mohawk on there.
Well, that would be like a metal, right? It would be metal. It's a fucking helmet.
It has to be metal. Yeah.
Purple cape and
green and purple underwear and green boots or purple boots and purple gloves, but green everywhere else and super muscular.
Thankfully, they decided not to go this way.
They didn't go with this. They went with some old guy that was like skinny as fuck.
Dude, he was he was cool though. I like how they opened with him just fucking blasting the guards. With his eyes,
Did you catch though at the end that he is not a metahuman or not a metahuman because of the from the
he, yeah and so yeah that's again was great this week. The one show that normally doesn't have metahumans has metahuman. However, we find out in another crossover where
Cisco,
you know, Ray is depositing him at their jail
where they can't pee or eat.
Yeah, and he finally asked him you asked me. He's like, where do they eat?
It's great that he asked.
I'm so glad
he asked what everyone is thinking.
Everyone, like, where do they eat and where do they shit? Just tell me.
That's all you needed too, because Cisco didn't even answer it.
No, he didn't even.
Like, that's all you needed to acknowledge the fact that this is ridiculous.
I was like, oh shit, somebody asked finally. Yeah. Like, where does he eat? Where does he shit? Anyway, Cisco's like, he wasn't here when the particle accelerator went off.
He was somewhere else.
How is he a metahuman?
I think there's another way to make metahumans.
Did he do it to himself?
There's just another way. Like Mirakuru, it's just another way of creating these super powered people. Not everything is because of this particle accelerator.
Yeah, which, you know, and it's makes sense seeing as how he's introduced on this show first.
Right.
You know, where he could easily be on The Flash, but it's not really related to that.
Right,
there's something else going on. That's great. I love that. That was a great little misdirection at the end.
What did you think of Deathbolt and Adam fight scenes?
Oh, that was great, dude. Ray was clearly outmatched, of course, but... him Ollie doing Wii boxing. I love that. He was playing Wii boxing. He was playing. It was like,
that was so weird. I was like, when did this get established that you could mind link with one another on this show and do Wii boxing?
Dude, it's the Adam suit. It could do everything. He's like, I loved it because he's like, Ray's been like always quick to solve everything. Like, it's always like, all right, I'll use my tech. Cause Ollie tells him before, you can't rely on your tech. I am the weapon.
Yeah.
Jabba, shut up. And then
that's Imran's dog.
So he says, I'll use my tech and your instincts.
Yeah.
And he gives him control of the suit, and Ollie, and it just reminded me of Wii boxing. Like, I was playing Wii boxing.
No, you would wear that exact headset too, or something like that.
But as gimmicky as it was, it didn't last long, which I also love that it got knocked out right away. Like, they really don't know what the fuck
they're
doing.
It's weird though. Like, he, I mean, I know that in the episode they were like, you can't rely on your tech, but it's weird that he has this tech.
Yeah.
And he literally beats Deathbolt by just punching him.
I
guess the suit has super strength too, kind of.
Yeah, it's like it's an exoskeleton. Yeah. So I loved how ultimately Ray had to beat him on his own accord. Ollie had to pump him up a little bit.
He had to kind of fulfill the shoes of being a hero.
You save Felicity, you're a hero. Right. You are a hero. You're afraid to admit it. Just fucking punch him out.
Yeah.
And he does, and it's great.
It was weird though in the beginning of this episode. So it almost felt like they didn't even acknowledge that Adam and Felicity had been on The Flash.
So
it was like, yes. They weren't even now, like on The Flash, they were like coupley.
Yeah.
But back on this show, they were like, oh, you,
it's
I don't
like
really
it picked up
you.
From, yeah, he says it. And I agree. Yeah. I didn't understand. I was like, wait, did this happen? And I was looking on the internet and people are confused. Some people are like, oh, this happened before. And some people are like, no, this happened right after.
It was
after.
Weird the way they did that.
Because you're right. They're all cutesy in The Flash. And then he brings up the fact that he goes, yeah, I called you. I love you. It was a lowercase L. Let's not make a thing about it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wait, did they is this the first time they're talking since he said I love you? The continuity was a little shaky.
There was a good line, though, and I told you this off air, but I'll repeat it on air. Ollie had a funny line where he goes, there's a decent chance, we're talking to Felicity, there's a decent chance you and Palmer are related.
And then, again, the second time this week that people are like, you guys are the same. Like, they keep mentioning that you're same. I love that. I love that thread. And, you know, another, the big line, and I also love what they do with the flashbacks. They had that, the whole part of the whole episode was, letting Oliver understand that he needs people to help him.
Right.
He doesn't want anybody to help him. And people. And after a while, that gets old. You're like, dude, just give it up. You need people to help
him. Stop being a dick.
Stop being a dick. Let us help you. Which does ultimately lead to Felicity getting fucking caught by Deathbolt. Because she's like, I'm just going to go plug this thing in over here. I can do it myself.
Right.
Let people help you.
You brought up those flashbacks. And that's something I wanted to touch on real quick. That was weird. It was weird seeing Waller like in that position, like asking for their help, and you're sort of like rooting for her now.
Yeah, well,
I was like, but that's not earned. She's been a complete bitch to them the entire time of these flashbacks.
And the only reason was apparently General Shreve had been holding her. She was shot in the gut.
I thought she was like double crossing them. I didn't believe her at all.
Like, why wouldn't you just be like, oh, thanks for me. I'm just gonna shoot you now. But and like leave.
At that point, she had been. We were led to believe she'd been working with General Shriver, like she was like not letting them go, and now she's asking for their help. Like, I don't know. I didn't get that.
Well, I mean, there's two factions. She's Argus, and General is military, right. And perhaps they had a falling out. He'd been keeping her hostage.
But that was all off screen, which is weird.
Yeah, and they just kind of filled that in. Basically, this flashback was just about they were trying. The General has this drug, and they wanted to steal a vaccine, yada, yada, yada. But Katana, again, in the flashback goes, you need to let people help you. Because he was going to go and go stop General Shreve himself.
Right.
And they were like, you need to, and then tied back into.
General Shreve wants to blow up China. And
yeah, he's going
to
bio bomb them or
Hong Kong or something like that. Yeah.
Take them out. He does not like China.
He's not. The relations between those two countries in that show is not good.
No. But that was the slow advancement of the flashback, anyways.
These flashbacks this year haven't been that good.
But the best part was this, them racking up this tension with Roy.
Yeah,
which so I did not, it totally got me. I did not see
him. Before we get to that, Roy, so up until that point, I was like, this episode's okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that great. Then we get to these bombshells.
Well, and they, you know, there were certain scenes in there. I'm like, why are you showing this? Like the whole scene where Thea visits Roy. I was like, what? All right, nothing really happened there. Why are you wasting time? I love that Roy gets jumped, and he fucking takes down three huge guys in handcuffs.
Yeah,
he's badass, dude.
Roy's good.
That was great.
Roy knows how to fight now.
Yeah, and he's like, look, I deserve. And he just keeps repeating. That was the other thing. He just keeps repeating.
That he deserves.
I killed that guy. I deserve to be here.
Right.
And so when we get to the point where they're in a lineup and an officer pulls them out of the lineup and there's nobody around and he fucking shivs him in the gut.
I wrote down that right here. Roy.
Oh, shit.
Roy gets shanked.
Oh, shit.
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
That had me.
I thought he was dead.
Because they cut back to, Ollie and Thea and Lance going, Harper died an hour ago. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? Did they really do that? And then the show, well done. Very quickly, almost instantly, he Oliver's in the cave and Felicity's like, don't be mad. And fucking Roy pops out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. So at that point, I was like, is this Lazarus Pit? Is this why Ollie's going to become Roz? Is this the motivation? And they fucking had me. So at this point, the beauty of them ratcheting up this tension to where Roy is there and suddenly you're relieved. You're like, okay. And you know, you feel yourself relax. You're like, all right, he's just got to leave. He's got to, because they're like, look, everybody thinks you're dead. What are you going to do?
This was all one big lesson for Ollie.
Roy's just got to, Roy's, they were able to handle it. Roy's like, I told you we had a plan. Sorry I didn't tell you before. And he basically has to leave.
It's like a happy kind of ending. I mean, he's leaving, but it's like,
he has to leave.
Ollie learned from Roy, and Roy like stepped up here, and Roy will probably come back as Arsenal.
And as a viewer, there's a huge relief. You're like, okay, all right, that was interesting. Not even noticing how much of the show is left.
Yeah.
Suddenly, we go back to Thea, and I thought this was hilarious, because this is the shit they do on shows all the time. Roy tells him, please tell Thea, because I didn't have a chance to say goodbye. Thea's, of course, no one has fucking told. You don't think you could pick up a phone the minute he drives away and just be like, oh, by the way, Roy's not dead. It's cool. I'll explain later.
Meh.
Nobody bothers to tell fucking Thea.
Fuck Thea.
So she's drinking wine at this point, and she thinks Roy's dead, and she's all sad. And who shows up?
Oh, shit.
Your boy, Roz.
The demon's head himself.
She calls him the demon. He's like, oh, I'm the demon's head.
I'm the demon's head. Yeah. He's like, bitch, get it right.
Yeah.
oh man, I was like, oh shit, what's going on here? And there's, you know, this is an outmatched fight. She tries, and her training, you know, you see her getting a couple of, she doesn't get any shots. I was like, there's no way you're fucking taking
that
loss.
He caught her knife, and then,
without even flinching, he throws her through a glass table.
Fucking stabs her.
Stabs her with the raw sword. And I guess he was speaking Arabic. I listened to that a couple times.
Is it Arabic? Like, can you speak Arabic?
Yeah, that I can read it, and that guy's Arabic is not very good, because I could not make any of that
So out. When he was speaking Arabic, do you recognize that he has an accent in Arabic?
And no, it sounded horrible.
It sounded bad.
Yeah.
It would be like me speaking broken English or something.
It sounded like...
Hero.
It did not sound like Arabic. I couldn't tell. I honestly couldn't tell. Yeah, I couldn't tell. I mean, the subtitles were there, but...
Is Arabic a hard language to learn?
To fake? Probably. You can learn it phonetically. One of the best cases... Have you seen Malcolm X?
Yeah.
Remember at the end when Denzel becomes Malcolm and he's in Mecca? They make it to the holy city and he actually prays?
Yeah.
That is, he did that 100% correctly and with good pronunciation. I was so impressed at fucking, he should have won a fucking Oscar for that movie, not fucking Training Day.
He memorized
and he was praying properly and his Arabic was really good.
But as an English speaker, it's hard to learn Arabic.
It's hard because you have, because it's a Persian language.
Yeah.
So as opposed to like a Cyrillic or Latin where it's written in the same letters, it goes from right to left. And there's 26 letters in the alphabet and they're all calligraphy marks.
26. How many English letters?
20. Are these 28? It's similar.
Yeah.
It's very
English
similar.
English is 26.
Yeah. There might be 26. Or there might be 28 in Arabic.
Okay.
But no, it's, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, it's complete gibberish. So then you have to get a phonetic translation and hope that you are reading the phonetic part right that it matches.
Oh, because yeah.
Because you don't know. You don't know what you're reading.
And the language, that with there being more letters and it
and
being.
There's no way Denzel fucking had learned Arabic for this, because that takes a long time. Like, as raised a Muslim, you learn Arabic when you're like three, you start to learn.
But you could recognize that the guy that was playing Raz is speaking Arabic.
So bad that I didn't think it was Arabic. Supposed to be Arabic? No, I think it was supposed to be Arabic.
Yeah, it is supposed to be Arabic.
It wasn't very good, though.
No. I was like, fuck, Thea's dead.
Yeah, she's not dead. So then...
She is dead.
Well, she's dying.
No, she's dead. The preview for the next episode shows
the blood
that
was dripping out. And then, so then I moved my statement. I was like, oh, this is the Lazarus Pit. This is why he now has to become Roz. I love earlier in the episode where he met Malcolm for a minute. Yeah. And Malcolm's been trying to help him the whole fucking time. He's always been right. He goes, look, it's better to be Roz than to be an enemy of Roz. He's going to kill everyone you love first. And then he's going to kill you last.
I mean, he should have been Roz from the start. Like I said in previous episodes, they haven't made it out to be like that being Roz is a bad thing.
Right. But I also love how in the last episode, Ollie really has no choices.
No, he
doesn't. Been boxed in and it's all Roz is doing. Roz is pulling all the strings, dude. He's going to have to do this.
They are doing a good job of like legitimately writing it well so that he is legitimately boxed in. Like, he has no choice.
He has no choice. He has to let Ray go help him out. He's got to let Roy go now.
This is the episode, too, with him killing Thea, where I'm like, all right, I do want to see Ollie kick his ass now.
Yeah.
I want to see Ollie
kick his ass. But I felt like I saw something in the thing about that he's taking her to the Lazarus.
No, the preview for the next... That's why I'm saying she's dead, because the preview for the next episode was him carrying her to a Lazarus pit.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got to save her.
I mean, was he dead like... we never explained how... do you want to talk about how they faked Roy's death? Is that important? I thought it was... They had some details.
He got shanked in the right spot where there was a lot of blood, but he wanted to die.
With a beta blocker to slow his heart down.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter.
But look, here's the thing. Roz stabbed Oliver with the same sword the same way. He didn't die.
He didn't stab him the same way. He tried to kill him. Ollie did die. Then he got brought back, but they didn't tell us how he got brought back.
I just think he was like barely dead on the very fringe. And what's his name?
He was who? Thea or Ollie?
Ollie.
When he got killed in the midseason, he got killed, bro.
He was dead.
He was dead.
It's a rebirth.
He got stabbed through the heart and then kicked off him.
He did not get stabbed through the heart, dude. The incision was way over here.
He died.
I thought Roz, that was a sloppy kill. If Roz wanted to kill him, you go right in the center. That was not in the center. That was off to the side and to the right. He missed. There was nowhere near his fucking heart.
I don't think it was a sloppy. He stabbed him and then he kicked him off a cliff.
Okay, that part probably hurt afterwards. I'm sure that wasn't pleasant, but he did not stab him in the heart.
He didn't stab him in the heart, but he kicked him off a cliff and Ollie got lucky to land on a ledge.
It's almost like Roz didn't want to kill him so that he could become Roz, because maybe Roz is tired of being Roz.
Roz is fucking old.
He's way older than we know.
Right, way
centuries,
fucking old.
Probably.
I mean, you can only do one thing for so long.
Yeah.
It's like eating your favorite food. You can't eat your favorite food every day, or else it wouldn't be your favorite food.
Eventually, yeah, immortality is going
to
get boring.
Like, eventually, you're going to be like, you know what? I can't keep sending these assassins out to do my shit.
I mean, after a while, all your friends die. Then you got to make new friends. Fuck that shit. Every 60 years, I got to make new friends because they get old and die.
You're giving people 60 years?
Well, 60 to 80 still.
I'd say, lifespan's now, 70?
If you're immortal, though, that's like 5 minutes of time.
Yeah, it's inconsequential to you if you're immortal.
So did you see this bit of news? Speaking of Roy's exit, he is not coming back next season.
I wish you would have revealed this to me on the show so I could have had a genuine surprise reaction. I didn't know that.
Oh, shit.
I didn't know that until you told me fucking
Roy
off the air.
Roy is not coming back. This comes from comingsoon.net. I'll put this link in the show notes, which we haven't mentioned yet, but they'll be at jockandnerd.com/6. Basically, it's real quick. It says the good news for Roy fans is that Haynes' exit is being written so that the character could potentially later return to Arrow, The Flash, or even the still untitled team-up show that the network has in the works. Watch the finale to find out, says creator Berlanti. When asked if Oliver Queen might be getting a new sidekick, fans will really wonder where you have to go from here. We have planned something cool and radical to open next season.
So what's your speculation?
I don't know. I mean,
I think it's Thea.
That she's Speedy. She becomes Speedy because he's calling her Speedy.
Right. He's been calling her Speedy since the very beginning.
Well, then you got to have her get hooked on heroin. She had a drug problem.
Yeah. She was on fucking Vertigo. Vertigo, but some other
That other thing, yeah. That
she had a drug problem.
And I always wondered, why is he calling her Speedy when it should be Roy who's Speedy?
Yeah, but Roy's also in the comics been Arsenal, and Red Arrow. So that's too many fucking names.
I love that they can... I mean, I would love to see him in that third show. I'd love to see him cross over into The Flash every now and then. He needs more to do. Huge.
You like that actor?
I like the character.
You like the character? I feel like he's okay. Yeah. I mean, he's a little too pretty.
Yeah, he is a little too pretty. He looks
and
like
his delivery, his lines is always very kind of wooden. Like, you can tell he's not the best actor.
He's kind of jock looking, I think. You know,
you think he looks like me?
Because
I'm half Filipino, half Polish. I don't think he looks like me.
Oh, he looks exactly like you.
Actually, he does look.
You guys,
like
the jock looks exactly like Colton Haynes, if you're wondering.
No, you know, if you were wondering, you could just listen to our podcast and look at my face.
Oh, yeah. That drawing is pretty accurate. I did a good job.
It's to scale, too.
It's to scale.
That's how big my head is.
He has a tiny shrunken head, people. that's all I had to work with, so wasn't much. So I love the red costume. I just think it's cool. It's like a nice dark red costume.
Yeah,
and the fact that he's got skills.
You like him because of the red costume.
I just like the idea of having another Arrow guy out there he can jump around, you can throw in, you can call. I mean, with shared universes, why doesn't, like on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., why doesn't somebody just fucking call the Hulk to take care of something one time? Why just pick up the phone and call the other dude? You have a dude who can fly, you have a dude that's a god. How about you use your resources instead of trying everything yourself?
That's the problem with a shared universe.
Just pick up the phone every now and then, that's all I'm saying.
That's the problem with a shared universe, man. Do we have anything else?
No, that's it for the shows. We let's get to some more feedback. We got some more feedback. Talking Nerd. So we got an email.
Yeah.
And it's from a buddy of mine. I went to art school in Brooklyn with this guy in the 90s. Yes, yeah. I was in college in the 90s. So you guys can figure out how old I am.
Holy fuck, you're old.
You guys can figure out how old I am.
I don't know why we hang out.
I have no idea. We have nothing. You're the only one who understands half of my references. That's probably why.
I understand half, and then the other half, you just go right over my head.
And then I'm like, whatever.
You're referencing things from like the 80s.
Then I'll just send you a link. I'll send you a link.
Yeah.
Fucking kids these days. Anyways, Jose Dennis from New York City.
Jose Dennis?
Jose Dennis.
Oh, I thought you... Oh, his last name is Dennis?
His last name is Dennis.
Oh, Dennis.
Okay. His name Dennis.
Is he cool with you spitting out his last name like that on the show?
He's going to have to be.
All right, whatever. We did it already.
Because you're going to tell everybody that you were on the show and get us some more listeners, Jose. He knows. No. He's cool. We always, you know what? He was you before you. Like, we would riff on, we would just fucking geek out over shit like this.
He was me when I was like a...
You were just a twinkle in the eye of your mom.
Yeah. Or my dad, actually. Yeah.
Anyways, I'm going to read this excerpt. It might make your head hurt, but he makes a lot of good points. He talks about The Flash.
It made my head hurt.
Jose says, I like Flash. I think it's entertaining, and I like Grant Gustin, and I'm glad you guys said Iris is annoying because we're all thinking it, and you can't almost blame Barry because how hot she is. That being said, there are certain leaps in logic we accept about watching The Flash. Like, for example, almost nobody poses a logical threat to him. For example, Captain Cold and Heatwave are like, we're going to burn and freeze this whole town. He could just run up and snatch their weapons away super fast. No problem. Especially since they said exactly where and when to meet them, episode 10. But there will be no show, so we accept it. That being said, Professor Zoom has been obsessed with Barry developing his speed as the Flash to his own ends. As soon as Eobard Thawne got stuck in our timeline and took over Harrison Wells' body, he said he needed to move up the particle accelerator explosion by 5 years to get back sooner than otherwise possible. Would that not pose a serious threat to the existence of the Flash in the first place? I'm down with leaps in logic for time travel and all the movie. I'm down. I'm down with leaps in logic for time travel.
Breathe.
The movie Looper does an amazing leap over time travel logic that's just brilliant in my opinion. But seriously, in the origin of the Flash, merely 5 minutes one way or the other, Barry wouldn't become the Flash. So 5 years? And don't even get me started on what's happening with recreating his origin in Flashpoint, because we'll be here all day. I don't want to be one of those turbo nerds that pulls things apart too late, but at some point or another, the writers have to agree that they can't just lazily just write shit and have us lap it up without someone calling bullshit. Also, I've had a few whiskeys, but that's beside the point. And he says, love the podcast, keep it up, blah, blah, blah.
He brings up a good point.
He does.
But comics, man, I'm just going to...
For the one point... I always think, why don't you just run up there and grab their guns? You know what's interesting? In the beginning this week's episode, he did that. We saw him having fun. He learned how to phase in and out of shit, and he would just like grab the guns and leave. I'm like, that's all you got to do. You should have been doing that the whole time. That whole weather wizard thing. He just stood there. I'm like, just go punch him out already.
Yeah. Don't let him get on the elevator, go home, and eat a sandwich.
The guy will be in the hospital at the same time. You can fucking take him out and take the guy to the hospital.
That is a good point though about the 5 years and it being like totally fucking up the continuity.
Well, but the way you can time travel your way out of that is that if that's what he's doing, then maybe that was always supposed to happen that way. And
what is that called? A paradox.
That one made my head hurt because that is a good point. Like, but I figured at that point when he's like, I need this moved up 5 years, that's already happened. So where we are with that happening.
I took it as Eobard Thawne just accelerating everything a little bit. Yeah. Like he knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So he just knows how to do it. He knows how to make it happen quicker.
Because he knows what's going to happen.
Right. And so I'm willing to let that go.
No. And I think the point is we all are, because you get too heady and your head hurts.
I mean, just think about fucking the Terminator films.
Oh my God.
And your brain will just melt.
It's going to be even more confusing. I wanted to recommend real quick a couple of awesome time travel movies. If you want your brain to melt, you watch these three movies. They're not well known, but they're, in my opinion, and I love fucking time travel movies. One's called Primer. Look up Primer. I think it's on Netflix. Another one's called Time Crimes. It's in Spanish. And I'll link to the IMDb pages of these movies so you can find them. Time Crimes is great. And the one that came out recently with Ethan Hawke, it was straight to VOD. It's still on VOD. It's called Predestination. Mm. In that movie, they do something with the paradox concept that I've never seen before. And it's really good, dude. It's a complete mind fuck, dude. It's great.
I think it's called, I just looked it up, maybe Predestination Paradox?
Whatever was going to happen.
Always happen.
It was always going
to
happen.
So what's the paradox where it's always looping over and over, like you have to go back in time?
I don't know. I mean, there's string theory. There's your Back to the Future time traveling rules. There's your Terminator time traveling rules. Yeah. Everyone has their own rules.
I'm just trying to think of it now.
That's why that last movie, Predestination, is great. They take one thing that you're like, oh, nobody does this, and they completely fuck with it, and it's so awesome because you don't see it coming.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's very good.
Well, maybe I'll throw those up on the old Netflix or something like that.
Absolutely, you should.
I think that's it.
I think we're good.
Should we just plug everything one more time?
Listen, you guys, call the voicemail line. It's 312-248-4376. 312-248-HERO. Anthony, what's our email?
Show@jockandnerd.com.
That's correct.
Twitter's @jockandnerdcast.
@jockandnerdcast. And you can always go to jockandnerd.com for all these links. The show notes will be @jockandnerd.com/6. Remember, just go to jockandnerd.com/review. It'll take you right to the iTunes page. You can leave us a rating.
Please leave
us a reviewing. And whatever else you want to leave.
Rating, review, it's always appreciated.
Helps us
out a lot.
You good, the jock?
I'm good.
My name's Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And that guy is the nerd.
And that's the show. I know you're a jock, so you like shitty beer. I don't know if you like the craft beer.
I like craft beer.